Bezras Hashem Yisbarech, today's daf is daf nun in Maseches Brachos, the 49th daf in Shas. We begin two lines before nun amar aleph, Omar Shmuel commenting on the Mishnah on the bottom of Mem Tes Amud Beis. Our Mishnah had differentiated between, according to the Tanakhama, a zimun that takes place with three people, including the mezamein, and a zimun that takes place with four people, in other words, three people plus the mezamein. And the Mishnah said that if there are four, then instead of saying Nivarech Shachalnu, he should say Baruchu. The Gemara points out that this seems to be in distinction, in contradistinction to Shmuel's position. Amar Shmuel Olam Al Yitzi Adam Asatzu Min HaKlal. The person should never take himself out of the tzibur. Tanan, we're bothered. Bishlosha v'hu, Omer Baruch Hu. In a case where you have four people, three plus the mezamein, then he doesn't say Nivarech, let us, but Baruch Hu, you guys shall bless. Ema says the Gemara, Af Baruch Hu. Umikal Makom Nivarech Adif. If he said Baruch Hu, it would be acceptable. But nevertheless, Nivarech is better. Damar Avada Barava Omer Bei Rav. Tanina, we learned. Shisha nechlokin ad yud. If there are six, the zimun could be divided until ten. Iyam b'shem nevarich adif. If you're going to say nevarich is better, mishum hachi nechlokin. That's how you could divide. In other words, if you have six and you divide them into two groups, they'll only be able to say nevarich because each group has three. And nevertheless, that's fine. Now, if you hold if you hold that Baruch Hu is better, then why can you divide? If we see from here that it's preferable to start with Nevarech. Tanya Nami Hachi, the Gemara continues six lines from the top, and Nun Amar Alf, Bein Shamru Baruch Hu, Bein Shamru Nevarech, Ein Tavsin Oysa Alkach. You don't grab him, in other words, give him a hard time if he said Baruch Hu or he said Nevarech. The Nakdonin are people who are makbid on nikudos, on all of the details. They are makbid on not saying baruchu. Umi revechosav shel adam nikar im talmud chachamu. As well, says the Gemara, you could tell from someone's brachos whether they are a talmud chacham im lav or they are not. Ketzad. I'll give you an example. Rebbe Omer Ubetuvo Arezu Talmud Chacham. If someone says, we say, Nivarech Elokeinu She'achal Mishaloi Uvtuvoi Chayinu. That is appropriate, as opposed to Umituvoi Harezabor. If he says Mituvo, so then in such a case, he sounds like an ignoramus. What's the difference between Uvtuvo and Mituvo? Rashi explains that Mituvo seems to indicate that getting from his goodness, but not a lot of goodness. From his goodness, but not all of God's goodness. And it sounds like the person is not being thankful to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for everything that he's given him. The Gemara questions, is it really so bad to say umetuvoi? Amalei abai l'revdimi, 10 lines from the top, voksiv, but doesn't the pasuk say in Shmuel, umibirchasecho yivoyrach, beis avdecha lo'olam, and from your blessing, says the Gemara, b'sheila shani. If it's done as a bakasha, so then, in such a case, it's different. The pasuk in Shmuel is recording the tefillah of David and the bakasha of David to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So says the Gemara, when it's a bakasha, then it's okay. B'sheila nami, oksiv harche pichu, va'amaleyu. Asks the Gemara, if you're, when it comes to she'ela, it's okay to say umi b'chasecha. It's inappropriate when it comes to benching to say umetuvoi, because when it comes to bakasha, then one could ask from your bracha, as opposed to mituvo, says, oh, I got a little bit of your goodness, but when it comes to bakasha, you should ask for more. The pasuk in Tehillim says, harchev picha va'amaleyu. Open up your mouth wide. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I will fill up all of your bakashos. Answers the Gemara, Ahu b'divrei tariksiv. Harchav picha v'amaleu is not talking about bakashos, but rather is talking specifically in Torah. As much Torah you want. You want to finish daf yomi? Ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu that you should finish daf yomi. You want to become a baki in Shas, ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, how much do you really want it? The Gemara continues, Tanya Rebbe Yoyim B'tuvai Chayinu, I raise the Talmud Chacham. If he says, B'tuvai Chayinu, then in your goodness we live, then he's a Talmud Chacham. Chayim, B'tuvai Chayim, so then in such a case, he is a boor, I raise a boor. Why? Because he doesn't say Chayinu, he says Chayim. Chayim doesn't include with himself with others. Chayinu includes himself with others. Narbloi Masni Ipcha, Narbloi learned the opposite way, Narbloi, and he learned that you should say Chayim, but Allah is not like him. Amr Rabbi Yochanan Var Shachan Mishaloi, Harezu Tam Chacham. Lemisha Chanu Mishalo, to who we ate from, that belongs to him, Hareza Bur. That is not appropriate. The language Misha Chanu Mishalo, as opposed to Nivarech Shechanu Mishalo, seems to indicate that one is thanking the Balabayas himself. Nivarech Shechanu Mishalo, let us bless the one from whom we ate, that sounds like HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Why that is in the Lashon Kodesh, I'm not sure. The Gemara continues, Amar le'Ravacha Brei de'Rav le'Ravashi, Va'amrinan le'misha asalav asinu v'lanu eskalan nisim ha'ila. But don't we say le'mi, and that connotates HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Amar le'i, ha'samucha milsa ma'novid nisa HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There it's obvious that we're talking about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Amar b'yochanan baruch shechan mishal ha'rizu tamach hacham, al ha'mozan shechanu, on the food, as opposed to Baruch she'achalnu, so then, in such a case, that is a expression of a boor. The reason for that is straightforward. It sounds like he's thanking the food, as opposed to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Amar Rav Huna Breidu Yeshua Loya Amar Anela Begimel Dolek Hashem Shemayim Avasar Dik Hashem Shemayim. If there's 10, and then you already say Shem Shemayim, so then, in such a case, Baruch Elokeinu Alamazon she'achalnu. So then, in such a case, it's obvious that he's referring to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Kedistan, as we learned, Kenyan Shu Mavarech Kachon Nacharov, Baruch Hashem, Lekeso, Leketzavos, Yoshe Kruvim, Al HaMazon Shechanu. In such a case, then it is obvious and it doesn't sound like he is thanking the food. The Gemara continues by going on and analyzing the Mishnah that had told us that there was a distinction between whether there is 10 people or 100 people in the Zimun. The Mishnah told us that if there are 10 people, then you say Nivarech Elokeinu. However, if there are 100, so then they say Nivarech Hashem Elokeinu. The Mishnah, though, had also gone on and seemingly contradicted itself. Because the Mishnah says, Echad Asara Vechad Asara Ribo. The same comment of Nivarech Elokeinu, it said whether there are 10 or whether there's 10,000. And yet the Mishnah seems to go on and say the exact opposite. That's what the Gemara asks 4 lines into Nun Amud Aleph. Hagufa Kasha, Amrit Echad Asar Vechad Asar Ribo, always gets Nivarech Elokeinu. Al-Muki Adodin, you know, they seem to be the same thing. Vadiktani, then a line later you say, Bemea Omer, Be'elef Omer, Beribo Omer. In our Mishnah we had learned different things are said for 100, 1,000, and 10,000. Amr of Yosef, Rav Yosef says you have to add that this Mishnah is according to 2 opinions. We pointed this out when we read the Mishnah, that you have to add a big period into the Mishnah. Loi kasha, ha-Rabbi Yisi, ha-Gli, ha-Rabbi Akiva. This is the machlokes to Rabbi Yosef, ha-Gli, Rabbi Akiva. Disnan, as we learn later on in the Mishnah, Rabbi Yosef, ha-Gli, ha-Omer, the fi rov, ha-Kol, ha-Mavarchim, shenemar, b'makelos, based on the multitudes, baruch ha-Lokim, and therefore the statement adjusts claims Rabbi Yossi HaKlili. However, the line of Echad Asara Ve'echad Asara Ribo is going according to Rabbi Akiva. So you have to put, as we said, a big period, the third line into the Mishnah, Echad Asara Ve'echad Asara Ribo. The Gemara continues quoting the other part of the Mishnah. Amar Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Akiva had rejected Rabbi Yosef Glili, who differentiated based on Makelos, and he said, when it comes to a shul, Mabatzinu bebeis hakneses, when it comes to a shul, Echa merum ve'echa mu'atim, in both cases you say, Baruchu es Hashem. Rabbi Akiva, haikrad Rabbi Yosef Glili, my Ovid le asks the Gemara, what is Rabbi Akiva going to do with the pasuk of Makelos Baruchu Hashem? Answers the Gemara, mi boi lecha disan yuini, for following Bryce, how you read me, or menayin shafilu ubrin shib meyimon, omru shira la yom. How do we know that even fetuses sang shira, shenemar b'makelos, in the depths of the mother's belly, Baruch Hu Elokim Hashem Mimkar Yisrael, even from the Makar of Yisrael. V'idach Mimkar Afka. But Rabbi Yosef Aglieli is going to say, you don't even need Makelos. What about Makar? The depth. The source. The source of Klal Yisrael is the mother's belly. Every Jewish child comes out of a Jewish mother's womb unless they undergo conversion. Amar Rava Halach Rabbi Akiva. Rava says Halach is like Rabbi Akiva and we don't adjust. Ravina Rav Chama Barbuzi Iklu Levei Reish Kalusa. They went to visit the Reish Kalusa. Kam Rav Chama Kamahader Ave Meya. And he got up and he was looking for 100 people to be able to be Mitzdaref for the extra Zimun to be able to say the added Amira of Nevarech Hashem Elokeinu, like Rabbi Yossi Aglili had said. Amalei Ravina lo tzrichasa. Ravina said, why are you doing it? You don't need to do this. Hachi amarav alach Rabbi Akiva. We follow Rabbi Akiva. It doesn't make a difference whether it's a 10, 100, or 1,000. Amarava kechlin rivsa bei reish gelusa. When I ate bread in the house, reish gelusa, mivarchin and gimel gimel. We broke up into threes. Asks the Gemara, V'livracha asar asar, Shama Reish Gelusa v'ikbid. We're afraid that the Reish Gelusa is going to hear, and he's going to be makbid. Rashi explains that the Reish Gelusa is going to be upset that they're making their own large groups of 10. Rashi explains that the Reish Gelusa is going to be insulted that you don't want to be Yotze with his bracha. Rashi explains that he's less bothered if they make groups of threes, because it's not as obvious that they're not being Yotze with his bracha. Asks the Gemara, but why break away yourself in threes? V'nifka b'rubechas reish kalusa. I did the avshu kulei alma lo shemi. If they're going to break away, they're not going to hear the zimun of the reish kalusa. Amarabba tosva. If you have a group of three that broke bread together, he went alone and he benched by himself. Inun, the other two, can do a zimun afterwards, after the first finishes benching. They could be yotze with a zimun, provided, of course, that he answers. But the first who benched out of order, or too early, presumptuously, he won't be Yotze, Fishein Zimun Mafreya, because you don't have Zimun retroactively. The Mishnah recorded in the end of Yishmael had said that one should not say, in Tfila Baruchu Es Hashem. Rather, one should say, Baruchu Es Hashem HaMevorach. Rafram Bar Papa Igla Levei Knishta De Avi Gibir. Kam Krabba Sifra. Ra'afram got up to read from the Sefer Torah. V'amar Baruch Hu Es Hashem V'ishtik, and he didn't v'lo amar Amavorach. He didn't say Amavorach like Rabbi Shmuel said. Avshu Kulei Alma. Everyone screamed out at him. Sounds familiar. Sounds like a Jewish place. Everybody screamed out at him. Baruch Hu Es Hashem Amavorach. Amar Rava. Rava said to Rav Papi, Ra'afram Bar Papa, Pasya. A darkened kli of cheres. This is understood by many mepharshim in many different type of ways. I would like to think of it as a talmid chacham that's worn, that has been around in a positive sense, that you have experienced a lot, just like a kli that has experienced, that has held a lot of different types of food. So he said, you've been around. Bahadi plug salam alecha. Why get involved in a machlokis? Va'od hanog alma ki Rabbi Shmuel. The minig olam is like Rabbi Shmuel. Don't get the folks going, even if you are not, you don't follow Rabbi Shmuel. The minig olam is to follow Rabbi Shmuel. The Mishnah continues 10 lines from the bottom. Gimel shachlu kachas einon rishoy v'chalik. If there are three people who eat together, they're not allowed to separate. V'chein dalet, v'chein chamisha, so too 4 and 5. Vav nechlakim. 6 are allowed to separate, adasara until 10. The reason for that is that if you have 4 or 5 separating, then there will be 2, let's take number 5. There'll be 2 that will be left without a zimun, while 3 would have one. If you have 6 that divide, so then they could divide into 2 separate groups of 3. 6 could divide up until 10. V'asara ein nechlokin ad chof. But 10 can't divide until 20, because up until 20, one of those groups will not have the Elokeinu that's added by 20. Shtei chaburos shehayu ochlos v'bas echad. Bayis echad. Two groups were eating in one house. Bizman shemiktsasan roan elu es elu. These halachos over here are very important in terms of the requirements of makom. For example, shinoi makom as well. But here we're talking about zimun, and that is when each group is able to see each other. Hare elu mitstafen li zimun. They could join for a zimun. V'im lav. They can't see each other, then considered in separate makomos, and in such a case they can't be included in a zimun. Wine in those days was very thick, very heavy, and Rabbi Eliezer was therefore of the opinion that needed to be diluted in order to be used for zimun. Asks the Gemara 7 lines from the bottom. Mai kamashmalan, what is the chidush of this Mishnah? Tanina chada zimna. We've already learned amabeis gimel shachul kayachas chayav lezamin. If you have three that eat together, they need to do zimun. Ha kamashmalan kehadir amar abba amar shmul gimel shiash v'lechol kayachas v'adayin lo achlu einon rishon lechalik. Once they've intended to eat together. Our Mishnah is teaching us this added halacha, and that is that they intended to sit as one, then they're already no longer able to divide. Lishna Achrina, another pshat, Amar Rabbi Abba Amar Shmuel, Hachik Tani Gimel Shiyoshvu Lechol Kachas, Afal Pi Shekol Echad Vechad Oichol Kikaro, even though each individual is eating from his own kikar, his own loaf, in Rashay Lechalik. Nevertheless, they're not allowed to divide. Maybe in the Mishnah Memheyam Abeis, we would have thought that only if they're eating from one bread. Our Mishnah is coming to tell us, even if they're eating from different breads. Inami, or else we could suggest another pshat, Kad Ravuna, Dam Ravuna, Gimel Shebo Mibnei Chaburos. If you have three people from three different groups, Einon Rishon Lechalak. In such a case, they're not allowed to separate. Rashi explains that Gimel Shebo Mibnei Chaburos is the phenomenon of three different groups that had been eating together, had been chayiv in a zimun, and then three individuals from that chabura separated from their original chabura and joined into a new chabura. So the Gemara says, Rav Chisda says that if they had come from a context where they were chayiv and zimun beforehand, Amar Rav Chisda v'hu shebo migimel chaburas, they came from three chaburas shel gimel bnei adam, of three people that they were chayiv and zimun, then they joined together and they are not allowed to separate. And that's what the chidush of our Mishnah is. Amar Rava, Rava said, going to Amar Beis v'lo Amaron, elo delo gdim wahanach v'izmen alayu b'duchtayu. We're only talking about an instance where they had not done zimun beforehand. Rashi learns that the zimun had been done already by the chabura, but the individuals themselves, these new individuals that wanted to make a new chabura, had not actually done the benching, but it had already answered. Avol izman alayu b'duchtayu parach zimun minayu. Even though they had not benched, nevertheless, they can no longer made a zimun. The Gemara brings a fascinating raya that once one's zimun was removed and taken apart, then in such a case, you cannot recreate again and parach zimun minayu. Amar Rava mino aminila. How do I know it? This not we learned in the Mishnah. Fascinating. From Maseches Brachos, we go to Maseches Kelim. The halacha is that Kelim are a davar hamikabel tuma. There are some things, like a broken kli, which is not mikabel tuma. A bed is a kli that could be mikabel tuma. What happens to the bed if the bed is taken apart? Mita shenignava, says the Mishnah in Kelim in Perik Yud Ches. A bed that was stolen, but not all of it. Chetzia was stolen. Oshiv the chetzia, or half of it got lost. Oshil chilku achin, or brothers divided in an inheritance. Oshutfim, or partners split apart and they divided. Tahora, the bed is tar because it doesn't have a status of kli. Hichziroha, if they put it back together. Mikabelas tuma, it contracts tuma. Mikanu lahabot, from now after it was put together and in the future. Mikano Labo introduces the Gemara Lemafreya Lo, but retroactively it's not Mekabel Tuma. In other words, when it's put together, then it's a Davar Mekabel Tuma. Alma deduces the Gemara Kivan de Palgua Parach La Tuma Mina, that once it was separated, then the Tuma flies away from it. Hachanami Kivan de Azman Olayu Parach Zimun Minayu. Once the Zimun was done, so then in such a case, the Zimun falls away, and you cannot recreate it, just like the status of the Kli flew away, and you cannot recreate it. The Mishnah told us, if we have two groups that see each other, then in such a case they can join for a Zimun. That's what the Mishnah had said, Shtei Chaburos, or Shtei Shayochlos Bebayis Echod, the Mishnah had introduced to us the idea that two different groups can be considered one if they see each other. The Gemara suggests that there is another way, a very fascinating way, that the two groups could be connected even if they don't see each other. Tana, im yeh shamash beinehem, shamash mitzarfen. They're considered connected vis-a-vis the waiter. It's all in the waiter. Because if the waiter sees both groups, they're considered connected. Why is everything dependent on the waiter? Well, if you went to a restaurant, maybe you've experienced that as well. But according to the halacha, that's a very fascinating idea, that the waiter somehow could be considered as if he brings both groups together. The Mishnah also said, Ein mevarchin al hayayin, according to Rabbi Eliezer, water needs to be diluted. Tana Rabbanan, the Rabbanan taught, if one has wine that has not had water added inside, in such a case, you do not make a bar priya gofen, ela bore priya eitz. Rather, it gets a eitz, and it could be used. Rabbi Eliezer does not consider undiluted wine at all. He considers it water. Considers it a liquid that could even be used in the place of water, to the point that you could be no tel mimenu yadayim. Rashi explains that it's considered mei peiros, that the Gemara on Lamed Vav or Lamed Zayin told us is considered like zeya ba'alma and could be used for netilas yadayim. However, continues the Gemara or the Braisa, if you add water, once water has been added, then it's appropriate wine, and then in such a case it could be used for tilsi daim. That's consistent with the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer we had in our Mishnah on Nun Amud Aleph. Whether there's water added, whether there's not, in such a case it gets a borei pri hagofen. And it cannot be used for tilsi daim. Asks the Gemara, Kiman Ozla. This that Shmuel had taught us, Hadamer Shmuel, Asa Adam Kol Tzrachu Bepas, that a person is allowed to use bread for any purpose that he would like to. The Gemara has a fascinating idea. Keman ke Rabbi Eliezer, that follows Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer had allowed one to use wine that hasn't been diluted for one's own purposes for Netilas Yadayim. Suggests the Gemara, maybe that's because a person is allowed to use food for his own needs, even washing his hands. So too, to use bread however he would like. For example, to prop up a sefer or something like that. Amar Rabbi Yisrael Chanina modim chacham the Rabbi Eliezer because shel bracha she'em avarchin alav ad sheitin l'sochom mayim. Rabbi Yisrael Chanina claims that even the chacham say you make a bar priya gofen, but because shel bracha needs to be diluted. My time, it continues the Gemara. What's the rationale? Amar Ravoshia be'inon mitzvah min amufchar. The mitzvah of Zimun should be done in the ideal fashion. Rabbanon l'maychazi, and the Rabbanon who say that you don't need to dilute wine in order to make a bar priya gofen, but no one would drink such a heavy wine. So what is that used for that you're going to make a bar priya gofen? Amar Rav Zera chazi l'koraita. Rashi explains, and the Lazi Rashi explained, that it is a type of drink that was used for refuah, for medicinal purposes. There are four things that were said in regards to bread. We bring up now the idea of Dal Dvarim Nemru Bepas because we had mentioned that Rabbi Eliezer might be of the opinion Oisa Adam Kol Tzrachah Bepas, just like he's allowed to use wine for Netilas Yadayin. There are four things, says the Braisa, that one is allowed to use pas for. Aim, that we say that you're supposed to do with pas. You're not supposed to put raw meat on bread. And you are not supposed to use bread as a saucer to pass a drink. Use with the drink sitting on top of the bread. Mefarshim explained because the Rashi says, because the drink might fall on the bread, and then the bread is mevuzah, it is embarrassed. Vein zarkenes hapas, you're not supposed to throw bread. Vein somchenes ha-ka'ara b'pas, and you're not supposed to lean a plate on top of bread. Amemar marzut v'rashi, korcha rifti v'hadi adadi, they broke bread together, they ate together. Hot isla kamayu, tamra v'rimoni, they brought in front of them dates and pomegranates. Shoka mazutra, pesek l'kamedir v'rashi, desitna. Marzutra threw a cooked dish of meat in front of Ravashi. Amalei, Ravashi said to him, Lo salam amar laha, desanya ein zarchan es ha'ochlin. Didn't we learn that you're not supposed to throw food? So he said, Ahi b'pas tanya. We learned that specifically in regards to bread, which is exactly what we saw above, that we're talking specifically, that what we said was dalad varim nemru b'pas, specifically bread. And one of the things was that you don't throw bread, but other food, that was not mentioned. Va'atanya, but didn't we also learn, k'shem shein zarkin es ha'pas, kach ein zarkin es ha'ochlin. Just like you don't throw pas, you also don't throw other foods. Amalei va'atanya, afbi shein zarkin es ha'pas, al zarkin es ha'ochlin. I learned the opposite, Raisa. Elo lo kasha, ha b'midi demos, ha b'midi delomomos. If we're talking about something, Rashi learns, that will get crushed or adversely affected because it is soft. When it is thrown, so in such a case it shouldn't be thrown. However, pomegranates and nuts, which are tough and strong, so then the Isser would not apply. The Gemara continues, Tanu Rabbanan, we learned another halacha in regards to Bizayon Ochel and how one is allowed to use food in an unorthodox way. Mamshichin yayin betzinoros lefnei chasan vikal. One is allowed to draw out wine in pipes in front of the chasan and the kala. Rashi explains that this is not the normal way to serve wine, and it is a simin tov, but at the same time Rashi says the wine will not be wasted, but rather the wine will fall into a productive place. Vizarkim, lefneim, kloyese gozim, you're allowed to throw nuts in front of them, bimos hachama, in the summertime, avalo bimos hakshamim, not in the wintertime. What's the reason for that, Rashi explains? Because in the wintertime, there is mud on the ground, and then the nuts get ruined. However, in the summertime, the nuts do not get ruined. Avalo gluskos, but you don't throw in front of them softer cakes, lo bimos hacham, lo bimos hakshamim, as well, because they're going to get ruined. The daf concludes on Nun Amud Beis with an important halacha. Amar Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says, Shachach v'hichnis oichlen soich piv b'loi bracha. Someone forgot and put food inside his mouth without making a bracha. Misalkin l'tzad echad, he should move it to one side, to the side of his cheek, u'mevarech, and then make a bracha. Tanya chada bolan. One braisa learned that the approach, when one forgot, is not the way Rabbi Yehuda suggested, that one should swallow. V'tanya yidach, and another braisa learned, polta, that you should spit out. V'tanya yidach, misalkin. And the third braisa learned, like Rabbi Yehuda taught, that you should put it to your side. So the chura, we have Rabbi Yehuda arguing on two braisas. Answers the Gemara, loy kasha. Hodisanya bolon bimashkin. When do we say that a person is supposed to swallow? There we're talking about drink. Vahadisanya polton. And when do we say that you need to spit out bimidi delom mos? Drink, if you would spit back into a cup, that is mos. That is disgusting. However, when it comes to some foods, so then in such a case, it's not mo'us to take out of your mouth. V'hadasani misalkin, and this that we say that you push to your side, b'midi d'mos. B'midi, when we're stuck and you can't spit it out, so then The Braisa suggests to put it to the side of your mouth, as well as Rav Yehuda. Asks the Gemara, but why not follow this Eitza all the time? On the top of Nun Aleph, Amid Aleph, why don't you also put it to the side of your mouth and then make the bracha? The Gemara solves it. Tir Gemara Yitzchak Kas Kesah Kamei Rabbi Yosi Bar Rav Mishmei Rabbi Yochanan. It was quoted in answer in the name of Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Shenemar, as the pasuk in Tehillim says, Yimale Pi Tivosecha. Our mouth should be filled with praise. Our mouth should not have anything else inside of it except for the bracha. Before we begin the halachic topics, let's just point out one halacha observation before the topics, and that is L'chura. This is a source for those who didn't intune it in their hearts. They need their minds a source that one should not make a bracha with gum in one's mouth. Bezer Hashem, we've concluded daf nun, and now we go to the halacha topics of the daf. Bezer Hashem Yisbarach, the first halacha topic that we will discuss from daf nun is the Gemara that we concluded with, and that is, what happens if someone forgets and puts food into his mouth? What is he supposed to do in regards to bracha? Here, there is a very important machlokas between the simple reading of Rashi, as well as the opinion of the Rambam, against the Ravid brought down in the Rosh, as well as brought down in the Rashba. Of course, like in most instances, you could find traces of it in Shulchan Aruch. Zok de mechaber in Simin Kufay and Beis, shochach vehichnis mashkin l'sarif pib b'loi bracha. If someone put food into his mouth without a bracha, bolon ve'inu mevarech aleihem bracha rishonim. As the mechaber will go on to discuss, we're talking about, in our instance, as the Gemara already described on the bottom of Nun Amud Beis, that if it's a food that will be disgusting, if one would spit out, in such a case, the halacha is that you're supposed to swallow it if you're not able to move it to the side of your mouth. What is that? Drinks. When it comes to drinks, so then in such a case, you're supposed to swallow and you don't make a bracha rishonim. You're an onus. Says the Ramah, v'yesh omrim, d'mevarech aleihem. And some say the halacha is that you're allowed to swallow it and then make a bracha. V'chein nira ikar. And this is, according to the Ramah, the primary position. This is another instance where the Mishnah Berurah rejects a yesh omrim of a Ramah. Says the Mishnah Berurah in Sifkotan, hey halacha l'maisa, v'chein nira ikar, v'das rov ha'posim de rishona, she'ena mevarech, rak bracha achronim, shasa kashir. An individual who by mistake forgot and drank and swallowed, so then in such a case he does not make a bracha rishona, he only makes a bracha achrona, provided of course that he drank the shir. Siv Beis, the Mechaber spells out other instances, and that is when you're able to spit out the food and it won't be disgusting, so then you should do that. That the Gemara on top of Nun Aleph Amid Aleph told us is most ideal, that the mouth be empty, yimale pi tivasecha. If however it cannot be done, and you can move it to the side like a candy, so then in such a case, then you move it to the side of your mouth and make a shackle. So three categories. If it's disgusting and can't be moved to the side like drinks, so in such a case you swallow. Machlokis mechaber ramah, whether you make a bracha. And the Mishnah Berurah says halacha that we do not make a bracha, even though the ramah says lechein yir ikar. If it could be moved to the side, so then in such a case, then one should do that. And even better, if it could be spit out and not be mos, maybe in some candies as well that could apply. That probably depends on time, place, and culture. And then in such a case, then the halacha would be that spitting it out would be ideal and then putting it back into the mouth. What's behind this machlokas between the Ramah and the Mechaber? And thereby, we will also point out a chumrah that's introduced by the Shaar HaTzion, which is recommended by Poskim. The Rosh quotes the Ravid, who says, why is it that a person cannot make a bracha afterwards? In a case where an individual is an ones, in such a case, then you can make a bracha afterwards. It's only if an individual
missed making a bracha intentionally, that it's too late. However, if a person forgot, says the Ravid, you're thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu, l'chatchila, you're supposed to do it over l'asiyasan, you're supposed to do it beforehand, as opposed to b'diavad, you should be able to make a bracha afterwards. L'halacha, we're assuming that you can't. However, the Rosh says, why can't you be able to do it afterwards? One can't suggest that this machlokas between the Mechaber and the Rama revolves around the most fundamental question in all of Perek Ketzad Mevarchin. This is something we spoke about on Daf Lamed Hey in the Halacha section as well as in other instances. And that is a Birches Hanenin something that is matir, one, to eat food? It's usher to eat the food. And then you make a bracha and it allows you to eat the food. And therefore, the bracha is there to make the food yours, as the pasuk says, "Lashem ha'aretz u'meloa." But at the same time, the pasuk also says, "Va'aretz nasan l'vnei adam." As the Gemara Lamed Hei describes, and the Gemara says, it becomes yours after the bracha. If that would be the logic, then the position of Rashi, the Rambam, and as quoted, codified in the Mechaber, makes a lot of sense, and that is that the bracha is only there for beforehand. Why would the bracha exist afterwards? If a person was an ones, he was an ones, but there's no need to make a bracha afterwards. One could suggest, and this is the approach of the great Talmud Chacham Rabbi Aryeh Pramarchik, the Mechaber of the Sefer Torah Zoraim, as well as Emek Bracha, in his first piece in Hilchas Berachas Hanenin, the Emek Bracha suggests that even if you hold, like the Maskanas HaGemara, that the Berachas Hanenin is a matir, there is as well a hoda'a component to it also. Because he claims that the Rosh's position is not tenable if we say that the requirement for a Birchas Hanenin is simply based on the idea of matir. It must be that if a person is forgot, then l'chatchila, you're supposed to do it beforehand to be matir. But b'di'eved, there still is another component. There's tzvei dinim. There are two components to Birchas Hanenin. One beforehand. One is the matir, and the other is to give hodah. And if you are an ones, or a shogeg, and not able to make the bracha beforehand, you can make one afterward. It should be noted that in the halacha from the daf, on daf lamed hey, we pointed out that one of my great rabbeim, Rav Heschel Schefter, proved against the way Rav Soloveitchik had said in Lomdos and Shir, he proved from a halacha perspective, halacha lemaisa, that we do not presume that a Birchas Hanenin is a matir, but rather is hodah, and the proof is that when it comes to an onein does not make the bracha, ayin sham. The Emek Bracha develops this idea one step further, where he points out that his pshat would present the following nafgamina. What happens if a person swallowed less than a shear of liquid? In such a case, would he also, according to the Rosh and according to the Rama, make a bracha? If on the one hand, the source for Birchas Hanenin is a matir, then what we are suggesting is that before you have any hana from HaKadosh Baruch Hu's world, you need to make a bracha. However, the notion that it's a hodah is also found on the Gemara earlier, just a daf before, on Memches Amabez, where the Gemara introduced the svara, kishuhu sava mevarech, if you're satiated, you make a bracha, kishuhu rav, lo kol shekein. Now we know that a bracha achrona is only made on a shiur of achila. Argues the Emek Bracha, the hodah component will only cover something with a shiur, a kezayis, possibly a melo lugmav, but if it's less than that, then one would not make a bracha. Hence, the Emek Bracha presents a beautiful pshat in the Rama, but he cuts down the scope of the Rama's halacha. Even if there are those who have a tradition to follow the psak of the Rama, that if you forgot, you make a bracha afterwards, the Emek Bracha argues that the mechayiv of that bracha comes from the Kal v'chomer, ashkechan kishu sava, kishu rav, lo kol shekein, and that Kal v'chomer will only be talking about a shear. So what emerges is, even if we follow the Rama halacha lemaisa, which the Mishnah Brura does not encourage, but nevertheless, the bracha after one eats, if one is making a shahak ol niya bedvaro, will only be if he had forgotten and drunk a shear. Bezer Hashem, this concludes our first topic.
Bezer Hashem, our second var halacha is the topic of diluted wines and undiluted wines. The Gemara had told us that according to Rabbi Eliezer, the halacha is that one cannot make a borei pri hagafen on wine that is not diluted. The Chachamim disagree, and they say that you still make a borei pri hagafen. Nevertheless, the Gemara quotes the opinion of Yossi bar Chanina that when it comes to the koshel bracha, then in such a case, one is supposed to put water inside. The Beis Yosef in Simen Reish Ayin Beis understands that Rabbi Yossi bar Chanina said of the Chachamim that they agree that when it comes to koshel bracha, that you need to add water, that that's only a wine that is entirely not drinkable without water added to it. However, the Torah adds in Reish Ayin Beis Hei, and this is quoted as well in Shulchan Aruch, that l'chatchila, it's best to dilute the wine in order that it reach its optimal and ideal state of drinking, the most comfortable for the average person. However, the Ramah adds an important caveat. Says the Ramah, V'yeno shelonu, this is Reish Ayin Beis Hei, yoser tovim heim below maziga. It's better not to dilute our wines. The Ramah is assuming that nowadays, Niskatnu Adoros, compared to the strength of wine that existed in the time of the Gemara, keep in mind, the Chachamim allowed a bar pri hagafen even on wines that we would consider entirely undrinkable. Says the Ramah, in our days, the wines are different, and it's better for one not to add water. Hence, when it comes to Kiddush, says the Ramah, better not to add any water to the wine. My Rebbe Rav Nevensal adds that his father-in-law, Reb Chaim Zev Finkel, Zichrono Levracha, from the Finkel dynasty, was Mesupak if Yenos Eretz Yisrael, which tend to be stronger, fall into the category of the Ramah, or maybe because Baruch Hashem, Eretz Yisrael, now, and already in the time of Reb Chaim Zev Finkel, began to produce very strong grapes, maybe nowadays there would be no problem of adding water to wines of Eretz Yisrael. Nevertheless, it seems that l'chatchila, for Kiddush, one should not add water. This topic takes us from Chelek Gimel in the Mishnah Berurah to Chelek Beis. And that is the issue of how much water, if added to wine, obviously not ideal for Kiddush and the four kosos on the night of Pesach, causes the wine to lose its bracha of borei pri hagafen. This is a complicated sif in Shulchan Aruch. We will, Bezer Hashem, simplify it. In Simen Reish Dalet Sif Hei, we are going to summarize the approach of the Mishnah Berurah in Sif Katan Lamed Beis. The conclusion of the Ramah is that if there's 1/6 of wine to water, you still get a borei pri hagafen. The Mishnah Berurah adds that's with the condition that it has the smell and the taste of wine. With that condition in mind, one can make a borei pri hagafen. The Orchas Rabbeinu in Chelek Gimel quotes the Chazon Ish as saying, for sure, 3 times the amount of water to wine is acceptable. However, again, the simple reading of the Ramah is one could be lenient and be able to make a borei pri hagafen up until 6 times. However, one should be aware that this halacha only applies if you're adding water to wine. And here we're going to talk about 2 other instances. If you're adding water to grape juice, or you're adding beer to wine in such a case, or another drink to wine, the halacha is different according to many poskim. Number one, the Ramah in Simen Reish Beis says the following, V'imnis'arev yayin b'shechar azlin acharov. Here you don't follow 6 times, but rather you follow the majority. Imarov yayin mevarech bar pri hagafen, v'imarov shechar mevarech shahakol nie bedvaro. Beer, of course, gets a shahakol. If the majority is beer, says the Ramah, you don't follow the 1-6 rule, even if it would have the reyach and the tam of wine. It is mistaber, I am not looking at any particular poskim, but it is mistaber that the same would apply if one added a majority of other drinks as well, that it would lose its bracha bar pri hagafen. In fact,
when I was a child, my father, may he be well, coined a drink called grunge. We used to mix grape juice and orange juice. That was in the old country where there was plenty of grape juice and orange juice, and the juices weren't as expensive as here in Eretz Yisrael. In such a case, presumably the bracha would depend on what is the rov. It should be noted that the Gra disagrees with this Ramah. It's quoted in the Be'er Halacha, in the beginning of Simen Reish Beis, where he says that you could even go 1-6 with beer and other drinks as well with wine. However, the simple reading of the Ramah is, as we mentioned, and the Mishnah Berurah, despite spending time in the Be'er Halacha being Ma'arich on the Gra, seems to go with this approach. Finally, Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach Zatzal, in the beginning of Chelek Aleph, in his tshuvas, has an important tshuva about grape juice and so on, and wines, and there, Rav Shlomo Zalman suggests that this halacha of adding water and saying that the water becomes nullified to the wine, to the point that you could even have up until 6 times the amount of water to wine and still get a Bari Priya Gafen, does not at all apply to grape juice. When it comes to grape juice, it gets a Bari Priya Gafen because it is a min, it is a species of wine whose process began as wine but was stunted in that its alcoholic content wasn't allowed to develop. However, at the end of the day, it only gets a Bari Priya Gafen for that reason. But it doesn't have the strength of wine. If that's so, if one adds water, so then Rav Shlomo Zalman was choshesh that it loses its bracha bar priya gafen, and therefore it would be recommended for those who follow the psak of Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach not to add wine to their grape juice. This Be'ezer Hashem concludes the halacha topics from Daf Nun.